Amen. Impact, can we celebrate the worship ministry of this house? Amen. Impact, and can we celebrate all the people that are out there serving? Come on, those people up there in the media, Neri up there, and all the people that greeted us today. Come on, hallelujah. Amen. Wonderful. Good to see you in church. Amen. We're in a message series entitled Faith Giants. Somebody shout, I am a faith giant. One more time. I am a faith giant. Last week we talked about faith giants see what other people don't see. When everybody else sees death, faith giants see what? They see life. They see life. It's a perspective issue. Today we're talking about faith giants say what other people don't say. Amen. And next week, somebody say next week. Tell your neighbor you better be here next week. Hallelujah. We're talking about faith giants do what other people don't do. Amen. Listen, you can pray, you can say stuff, you can see stuff, but until you do something you've never done before, you will never see something you've never seen before. Amen. So we're going to talk about doing. Amen. Next week, somebody shout next week. Next week, as we talk about doing and exercising our faith, we're going to pray for the sick in this place. Amen. How many people believe that Jesus is still in the healing business? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, the God that loves you wants to heal you. He loves you so much, he doesn't want to see you that way. Amen. So go get somebody who's sick. Amen. Go get somebody. And we're going to believe God in this place for miracles, signs, and wonders in Jesus' name. I want to begin this message today with a story that I shared maybe a few weeks ago or a few months ago. But I believe in the power of repetition. I want this story here to marinate into your spirit because this story has affected the things I say. Amen. One more time. Say, faith giants say what others don't say. One more time. Faith giants say what others don't say. There's a family of five that got into an accident, a terrible car accident. Their car overturned several times. And the mother and the father were there laying down on the ground. And the three kids were laying down on the ground. But the father got up and he was walking around checking up on the kids. The kids were hurt pretty badly. The mother had broken her back, so she was laying down on the ground, and she had no activity of her limbs. Her legs could not work. And when the dad walked over to the mom, to his wife, the first thing he said out of his mouth was, honey, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die. Honey, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die. And then they called the ambulance, and of course the ambulance came, and they started treating the family. The husband had no scratch on him. The rest of the family was hurt pretty badly, but for some reason, the husband was all right. But before the end of that week, he passed away. He died. And of course, they started taking care of the wife and the kids, and long process in the hospital, and went through rehab for years. And later on, she was all together, and she went to church, and she spoke to her pastor. And she said to the pastor, Pastor, my husband had no scratch on him. We were hurt pretty badly. Myself and the kids were hurt pretty badly. And I don't understand why he died. Matter of fact, she said to the pastor, I am angry at God. Has anybody in this room ever been angry at God before? Come on. I'm so thankful I have some people who are honest in this place. I want you to know some of us who are maybe super spiritual, grew up in the church. I want you to know it's okay to be honest with God as long as you keep trusting him. Amen. She said, I'm angry at God. I am angry at God. That man, he was not scratched at all. We should have gone. We should have been gone, and he should have survived, but he died. And she was asking the pastor and saying, I don't understand it. Why did this happen? Pastor, please tell me. Explain it to me. And the pastor said, listen, I can't tell you what God was doing. I don't know. But listen, why don't you and I agree and pray and ask God to reveal why your husband died? And in just 2 days, this woman called the pastor and said, Pastor, I got it. I know why my husband died. She said, when he came over to me and I was laying down on the ground, the first words that came out of his mouth were, honey, I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dying, honey, I'm dying, honey, I'm dying. And she said, Pastor, I believe that he spoke death into his own life. I want to remind you that we live in a world that was formed by words and is sustained by words. I want to remind you that who you are today is because of the words you spoke yesterday. And I want to remind you that your words shape your future and determine your destiny. Your words release faith. Let me read these three statements for you again. Number one, we live in a world that was formed by words and is sustained by words. It absolutely fascinates me that God never created anything with his hands. He simply spoke the world into existence. The potatoes you eat, the apples you eat were created because of words. The earth you live on was created by the power of words. It absolutely fascinates me. And then God created us in his own image. What image? We have the same creative power where we can speak things into existence with our words. It absolutely fascinates me. Hallelujah. And your future and your destiny are shaped by the power of your words. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs that the power of life and death is found where? In your tongue. You can speak life or death over yourself. This is a spiritual principle. This principle is as real as this microphone. This principle is real. You shall have what you say. I want to give you a tweet here that's really powerful. You don't speak the right words because you feel like it. You speak the right words because you live by them. Oh, that's good. That's good. Let me say that again. You don't speak the right words because you feel like it. You speak the right words because you live by them. This is a principle. This is a law. It's as real as the law of gravity. If you climb up on that roof, you may fall and die. If you break the law of gravity, it will break you. You cannot break the law of gravity without breaking yourself. This is a biblical law. We live by the words that we speak. That's why it's time. I want to see some believers in this place that are willing to speak life over their situations. And I don't speak life because I feel like it. Come on, somebody. I don't speak life because I woke up and everything is going well. I want to see a believer that's willing to speak life into their family, life into this nation, life into their communities. Whether I feel good or not, I'm going to declare life because I live by the words that I speak. We live by the words we speak. This is a biblical principle. This is a law. You shall have whatever you say. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. You shall have whatever you say. It's a biblical law. Turn to your neighbor and ask them, what are you speaking? What are you saying? What are you speaking? Come on, smack somebody at the back of the head and ask them, what are you speaking over your future? What are the words that you're speaking? Because you are who you are today because of the words you spoke yesterday. And you're going to be who you're going to be tomorrow because of the words that you're saying today. What are you speaking into your situation? What are you speaking into your life? Hallelujah. Let the weak say, I am strong. Come on, somebody. Speak life. I want to see a generation of a people that are willing to declare life in this place in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Quit talking about the president. Speak life over America. Quit talking about Boston is a place for the frozen chosen. Come on, God can do something in a place like this. Declare the life of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Speak life. So impact today. African brother, chill down. Calm down a little bit. I'm going to calm myself down because I want to teach. Can I teach something today in this place? Because many times when we teach on faith, we hype people up. And then that faith fails you. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something called the process of faith. And here in the process of faith, we're going to focus on what we're talking about today, which is faith giants say what others don't say. Guys, come up. Help me out. I'm going to bring the team here. Can we appreciate these brothers and the sister as they come up? We're going to do it right in this service. Amen. Here's the process of faith. They're going to put it up on the screen. The process of faith starts with scripture meditation, then revelation, then declaration, then manifestation. Let's say that together. Scripture meditation, declaration. One more time, with a little life. Can we do it with life up in here? Here we go. One, two, three, go. Now, this time, do it like you just won the Super Bowl. Here we go. One, two, three, go. Now, this time, do it like all your bills have been paid for. Here we go. One, two, three, go. That would do it. 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 The process of faith starts with scripture meditation. Then scripture meditation releases revelation. Revelation releases declaration. This is where we're going to stay today. But we're going to work our way there. What are you saying? Because faith is released by what you say. Then declaration releases manifestation. Declaration comes before manifestation. If you don't like the manifestation in your life, change what you're saying. If you don't like what you're saying, get yourself a revelation. If you don't have a revelation, read the Word of God. Hallelujah. Faith is not just some emotional thing. You can't just declare. Because this is why people say, you believe in God for a house? Say house 24 times. House, 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 house. You can say that until you're purple in your face. And nothing will happen. And I know believers who died miserable because they did that for the rest of their lives and nothing was produced. They had no manifestation because your words are empty if you don't have revelation. And there's no revelation without scripture. It starts with the Word of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to send the three of them away. We're going to keep Andrea. Can we appreciate this man of God, deacon in the house? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's talk about scripture. Can we talk about scripture? You need to have a scripture in every season of your life. You need to have a scripture that you're standing on in every scripture, in every season of your life. I should be able to ask you right now. I should be able to wake you up, Josh, in the night at 3 o'clock in the morning and wake you up and say, Josh, what's the scripture? And you should be able to give me the scripture that you're standing on in this season of your life. You need a scripture for a season. If you're believing God for healing, believing God for prosperity, believing God for a wife or a husband, believing God for a new job, believing God for something. What is the scripture that God's given you in this season of your life? You don't have a poverty problem, you have a scripture problem. You don't have a sickness problem, you have a scripture problem. Because the scripture releases revelation. In every season of your life, you've got to believe God for a scripture that you should stand on in every season. Lift up your hands. Let me speak over you. God, I pray that you'd open their eyes to receive the scripture for every Kairos season, I pray. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. Amen. It starts with scripture. Faith that is not anchored in scripture will not take you far. It will fail you. That's not faith. That's emotionalism. Faith starts with God. Faith starts with the word that God is speaking. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every scripture that comes from the mouth of God. Every word. It starts with this. You cannot live. In other words, if you're going to live today, if you're going to survive in this season of your life, it will start with the word that proceeds from the mouth of God. The disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he said, when you pray, say this. Give us today our daily. Now, they were not talking about pizza here. They were not talking about pancakes. We can pray for that too. But when you say, give us today our daily bread. The house of God, Bethel, is known as the house of bread. Give us today our daily scripture. The entire Bible is the inspired word of God. But you need God to give you the scripture that you're supposed to stand on in the season. What's the scripture you're standing on in this season? The Bible says, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by? In other words, faith does not exist until you start right here. It starts with Adriel. It starts with scripture. In every season of my life, God's given me a scripture. These are the recipes of the family. If you're wondering Why do we do great things? Why are we faith giants? It's my little testimony. I came from the third poorest country in the world, and God gave me a dream to pack up stadiums with people. And when God spoke to me about this, I was homeless. But God gave me a scripture. All you need is a scripture. Come on, somebody. That scripture is real. This is the word of God. This is the inspired word of God. How would you feel if somebody told you, hey, I've put together a little appointment for you, Jose, and I'm going to get you 2 hours every single day to hang out with Bill Gates. And he's going to teach you everything you need to know. And God's given us all his recipes, but we're not reading the word of God. It starts with scripture. Somebody say, it starts with scripture. I went through a season in my life for some reason. As a grown man, I was scared of the dark, Josh. I was scared of the dark. I would go into a room. Debbie is laughing. I would go into my house, and I'd be frantic trying to find the light switch. And then I wouldn't find it because I was so stressed out, and I would run outside. Grown man from Africa. Listen, I've killed lions with my bare hands, but scared of the... It's for real. I killed a lion with my bare hands when I was 10 years old. Come on, sir. That's a joke. But grown man scared of the dark. And God gave me a scripture. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I discovered that it wasn't the valley of death. It was a valley of shadow. I was scared of a shadow, not the real thing. The Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. The moment I discovered that I was running away from a shadow, I stopped being scared. Darkness is just the shadow of the evil one. It's not death. God delivered me. When I was believing God for my wife, Michelle, I saw Michelle. She wasn't my wife then, but I saw her walk into the church just with her pretty self. And I was overwhelmed with a kiss anointing. She walked in, and I love God. I was a pure man of God, pure young man of God. But she walked in, and I was overwhelmed with something. I felt something I'd never felt before. But then I thought to myself, I have no chance. We're in a small little youth group, and all these fellas wanted to be with her. There was fellas there from Harvard and fellas from me. I said, man, I don't got no Harvard degree, man. I just got Africa, man. And God gave me a scripture. I shall give you every place where your feet tread on. I said, that's mine. Come on. It may sound crazy, but I go to bed with that woman today, and I got 4 kids with her. She lives in my house. You need a scripture. It starts with a scripture. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. It starts with a scripture. The Bible says in Psalms 119, 105, the word of God, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. In other words, I don't take a step unless I start with scripture. Moses was speaking to Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, giving him instruction. He says, this book of the law, the Torah, the scripture shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, so that you can observe to do the things that are written in it, and you shall have prosperity and good success. There's a difference between good success and bad success. But it starts with scripture. Somebody shout scripture. Your faith has to be anchored in scripture. Whatever you meditate on has the power to consume you and control your life. You cannot meditate on fear and expect to operate by faith. That's why I want to speak to this generation today. Let me speak to you as a father. We need to get back to reading the word of God. YouTube and a good blog cannot substitute reading the word of God. Let me just say that to you. When you're watching YouTube, you're eating processed food. That food is being processed by that guy or that woman who's speaking. I'd rather eat organic food from the farm than eat processed food from the convenience store. We have a generation that's filled with people who are spiritually constipated because you're eating spiritual processed food. Come on, somebody. We need to get back to the word of God. Get you a Bible. Thank God for the iPhone. Thank God for the computers. But get you a real Bible. You can touch that thing, underlining that thing, highlight that thing. Come on, somebody, get you a Bible. I want to give every person in this place an instruction to get yourself a Bible. Hallelujah. Read the Word of God. It's life. Who's next? Jalen, come on, Jalen. Jalen always got to be smooth walking in here. Just. You got me? He's a preacher of the Word of God right here. Bible school degree right here. We got some of those in this building. Come on, I can brag for my spiritual sons. Amen. He's a bad man. We're going to set him loose one of these days. Amen. Somebody shout Revelation. Revelation. One more time, Revelation. Revelation. Scripture meditation releases revelation. Let me teach you how to read the Word of God. Because this is what most people do. Before you go to bed, you just read a little bit. And of course, I know there are people who are reading through the whole Bible, and that's a good thing to do. But let me teach you how to read the Word of God. It's all about meditating. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night. Meditate. You shall dwell in it. When you read the Word of God, you've got to find that scripture that God's given you in the season. You've got to read it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. When God gives me a scripture, I read that thing at least over 200 times every day. I know it sounds crazy. That's why I'm trying to get this generation to be disciplined. We hang out way too much because it takes time and discipline to get revelation. It just doesn't come like that. You got to read that thing over and over and over. I read it in the morning. Over and over and over. Fall asleep. Get up again. Read it. Read it. Go to work. Do other things. Do what I got to do in the afternoon. Read it again and read it and read it. Come back in the night and read it and read it and pray. Fall asleep. Pray, pray and read it and read it and read it and read it. Until that thing becomes alive. Because scripture meditation is a mind thing. Revelation is a heart thing. This is when that word, that scripture travels from your mind, from your cerebral, and it goes into your heart. And when you feel it, man, you feel it, you feel it, you feel it. Something jumps out of you. You've got to read that scripture until something jumps out of you. I remember one day I was in the airport, and I started reading the Word of God. I was a poor preacher. I went to preach for somebody, broke, left my wife and kids broke, and I was flying back home broke. And I was just sad. I felt defeated. And I was reading the Word of God. And for the first time, a revelation jumped into my spirit. And I heard Jesus say, "Son, I went to the cross and I became poverty so you can never be poor another day in your life." I jumped. I screamed. I said, "Hey!" I was running in the airport. "Hey! Hallelujah!" I tried to quiet down and sit down. But man, revelation was in here. Have you ever received a revelation from God? Hallelujah! How many people know that one revelation from God will change your life forever? You don't even have to see the miracle. When the revelation comes, you know you have it. You know that you know that you know that you have it. I knew that day that I would never be the same again. Come on, let me get a witness from somebody in this place who has a revelation from an almighty Jehovah. When you get a revelation, you know it's done. You begin to celebrate. Hallelujah. Excuse my African self, somebody. I get a little too rambunctious, but come on, somebody. All I have is a revelation. When God gave me a revelation of packing up stadiums, I was homeless, but I knew it was done. Hallelujah. When God gave me a revelation about this church, I didn't have to see you to know you were coming. I saw you before you walked in this room. It's that real. That's faith. Something begins to jump up inside of you and you feel it, you feel it. You feel like you get, I've never been pregnant before, but I know how to be pregnant in the spirit. Come on, somebody. I know how to walk like that because I'm pregnant in my spirit with a dream from God. Come on, somebody. Somebody shout revelation. Lift up your hands. Let me speak this over you. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus that when your people read the Word of God, they will receive revelations in the name of Jesus. They'll receive revelation like never before. Revelations of things that no one in their family has ever done before. Oh God, in Jesus' name, get a revelation of that book. Get a revelation of that company. Get a revelation of what God has to do in your life. Somebody shout amen and amen. Psalms chapter 119, verse 11. David says, I have hidden your word in my brain, in my heart, so I may not sin against you. If you're still living in sin, that revelation is in your brain and not in your heart. If you're still struggling with that issue, still struggling, just still not feeling good about yourself, that thing is in your head. It hasn't sunk in into your heart. Because meditation is a mind issue, revelation is a heart issue. It has to sink into your heart. And when that happens, you know that it's in your heart. The doctor can look at you and say, you have stage 4 cancer. And you can look back at him and say, no. Because 2,000 years ago, I was healed by Jesus 2,000 years ago. It's not that I'm being healed right now. I was already healed. You can go to bed while everybody's belly aching. Hey, they're firing people. You can go back home and sleep like a baby because you have a revelation. Come on, somebody. Sometimes people ask me, Pastor Zenzo, don't you get scared? Aren't you worried? What's going to happen to Impact? What's going to happen? No. Listen, I go back home because I know God's already taken care of the job. And I have a revelation about it. Listen, I go back home and I play cops and robbers with my wife. And I sleep. Because God's done the job. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to speak into you. I'm trying to shake you up in this place. The peace of God will be released when you get a revelation. You can go home and rest. That's faith. Let's bring up the other person. Pastor Juan. Come on, let's celebrate this man of God. Three statements I want to give you. You cannot release faith with your mouth if you've stored fear in your heart. You cannot release life with your mouth if you've stored bitterness in your heart. You cannot release healing with your mouth if you've stored doubt in your heart. Your mouth will speak what's in your heart. If you're struggling with the words that you're saying, if you keep failing to say the right stuff, it's because you don't have a revelation yet. Back in the days when my wife and I used to have these crazy arguments, I'd get home and I'd stop at the porch, or sometimes I'd just stay in the car and I'd say, God, help me be good today. Help me behave. Help me. And I'd go in the house. She would say one word and boom, I'd lose it. And I'd say, God, you're failing me. I'm praying and I'm asking you to help me be a good husband. And God said, son, you're failing to say the right stuff because you're taking all day meditating on the wrong stuff. Your mouth will only speak what's in your heart. Your mouth doesn't speak what you want to say. It speaks what's in the heart. What are you storing in your heart? See, I'd spend all day thinking about, man, why did she burn that toast six weeks ago? Why? And I'm all day consumed with petty little things. And my mouth would speak what was in my heart. And I found breakthrough when I changed what I thought about my wife all throughout the day. Somebody say amen. That's going to help somebody up in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, those little things that used to irritate me, they went away because I spent all day thinking about the good things, not the bad things. Because everybody has some good things and everybody has some bad ones. We just dwell on the bad stuff and then that's what we speak. Now let's talk about declaration. Now, this is what we're talking about today, because faith giants say what other people are not willing to say. Faith giants say what other people are not willing to say. Chris, help me out. Let's get on the piano. We're going to do this in 2 minutes. Amen. Amen, somebody, 2 minutes? Take three. Now, is this American time or African time? We're going to stay away from that Brazilian time. Because that's a whole another 3 minutes. And forget that Port-au-Prince Haitian time, too. Somebody say amen. Who can give me 2 minutes here? 2 minutes? And 2, 4, 6, 8. All right. Somebody say declaration. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man brings out good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of his evil stored up in his heart. Out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. That's why if you want to operate in faith, you have to guard your heart. The reason I can't afford to be upset at you is because I don't want that to block my faith. I can't afford to be upset with you. There's not a thing you would do to me that's worthy of me being upset with you, because my dream and vision are too big for me to give them to you. I can't give you that much power. I have no choice. I keep my heart clean. When I came to Boston, I realized that a lot of people had hurts, just a lot of bitterness, a lot of little things. Man, I keep my heart clean. I'll go to a person and say, hey, we need to talk. We need to fix this. I will not step on this stage without owing somebody only love. The scripture I want to give you here, very powerful. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. It determines the course of your life. Why? Because what's in your heart is ultimately what you're going to say. And I'm teaching my kids this. Anytime they joke about somebody, they heard their friends joking about Donald Trump. And, hey, did you know? I said, no, culture of honor, culture of honor, culture of honor. Put the right things in your heart. Culture of honor, put the right things in your heart. Because the Bible says to honor who? Leaders. It doesn't matter who it is. You got to protect your heart. Guard your heart. Because what you say is going to come out of your heart. Somebody say declaration. Here's where we end. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed. Say, be thou removed. And be cast into the sea. And does not doubt where? In his head? No. In his heart. In other words, you're not just saying stuff. You actually have a revelation. Listen to this. But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have some of the things that he says. He shall have whatever he says. Speak to the mountain. You've got to declare something. You've got to say something. Nothing leaves heaven until something is spoken on the earth. You've got to say something. This is a biblical principle. Give us today our daily bread. Let your kingdom come on the earth as it is in heaven. You've got to speak something. You've got to say something. Let's have the rest come up. Declaration happens before manifestation. So the question is, what are you saying? If you don't like the manifestation in your life, you've got to check what you're saying. What are you declaring? What are you saying? This is where what I call spiritual miscarriage happens. Right here. Because this is where God gives you scripture. You know what scripture is? Seed. Somebody say seed. Seed. This is where you conceive a dream. Revelation is a heart issue. This is the womb of the Spirit. This is where you receive that seed of the Word of God is planted into your spiritual womb. And then this is where you declare and you speak it forth. This is where a lot of the spiritual miscarriage happens. And I know many people who've received the blessing from God. They got the seed. How many people know God's seed is perfect? And then it was planted into their heart. They got the revelation. But they got so upset because it wasn't happening too quickly. They began to say the wrong thing and they lost the dream. Here's where we miss it. If you can ask me, Pastor, as a spiritual father, as a pastor, what is the thing you'd like to see believers improve on? I'd like to see believers improve on the things they say when they're upset and discouraged. It's amazing the things people say when they're discouraged. It's amazing the things I say when I'm discouraged. That guy said, honey, I'm dying. Honey, I'm dying. And God revealed to his wife that he spoke death into existence. I declare in this place in the name of Jesus that God will cause you to speak life. Do you remember Abraham? His name was Abram. which means exalted father. And God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations, because God knew if I can change this man's name, I will change the declaration that people will speak over him. So now everybody was calling him father of many nations, father of many nations, father of many nations. Can you see Abraham? He goes to 7-Eleven down the street to get some cappuccino, and they welcome him. Hey, welcome, father of many nations. He decides to go down to Barnes & Noble's and get an icy mocha and read some books, and they welcome him. Hey, father of many nations. Can you see some people laughing at him and whispering, father of many nations? How many kids does he have? He's 90 years old. Oh, he's got no kids. This is where most people stop. Who cares what people are saying? Continue to declare the word of God over your life. Speak it over and over and over. It doesn't matter how discouraged I'm getting. I'm going to speak life and I'm going to speak life. Somebody shout, speak life. Ezekiel is taken into the valley of dry bones. God says, what do you see? Because God is saying, what revelation do you have in your heart? And then God says, just declare what I tell you. Somebody says, speak the word of God. Here's where I end. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. It says, this is what's going to happen, paraphrasing, to the word that comes out of my mouth. That it shall never return back to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I sent for it to do. It shall bring manifestation. Faith is you getting the word of God, let it sink into your spirit, you declare it, and it will never come back void. You know why? Because God has made an oath with himself that his word will accomplish what it says it's going to accomplish. At this point, it's not about you. Faith is not about, it's not about stroking your ego. No, no, no. God's going to do this not because you're good. God's going to do this not because you behave well. God's going to do this because of his integrity, that he's going to stand on his word. He's faithful to his word. Stand up if you can, Impact. Hallelujah. Impact, let's appreciate this worship team. Amen. Hallelujah. You guys can get in position. We're going to worship in this place and release the glory of God. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands. Let's declare some things in this place. Take a moment. If you've been saying the wrong things, if you've been declaring the wrong things over your life, maybe because of disappointment, right now in this place, just begin to change your confession. Just begin to change your confession. Begin to speak life. Speak life into your future. Speak life over your kids. Father, I've told them. I've told them what you've done in my life. I've told them, God, how you gave me simple scriptures and how they were downloaded into my spiritual womb. And how I began to speak, and how you've produced. We speak life in this place. 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 Let faith arise. We declare life in this place. Let faith arise. 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 Faith arise. Father, I speak life over every person in this place that's discouraged. I speak life over every person in this place that's discouraged. I speak life over every person in this place that's discouraged. I declare life in the name of Jesus. I command that depression to fall to the ground now in the name of Jesus. I speak life over every person that's discouraged in this place. Oh God, I declare with my mouth in this place, and I invoke the scripture that says, we shall be heads and not tails. So I declare over every person in this place, under the sound of my voice, I declare authority. I declare that they'll become leaders. I declare that in their places of work, everywhere they go, they shall be heads and not tails, in the name of Jesus. And Father, I declare right now, and I invoke the scripture that says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Father, I pray. And I call in every family member that's not saved. I declare salvation over them now in the name of Jesus. Father, we command their kids, every child that's run away from home, every child that's not serving the Lord, I declare and I decree that they're coming back home now in the name of Jesus. I declare and I decree that they're coming back home now in the name of Jesus. Father, I invoke the scripture that says we shall be lenders and not borrowers. So, Father, I declare in the name of Jesus a building anointing. Father, I declare in the name of Jesus a property anointing, that your people will build houses and own houses without borrowing money from the bank. I declare financial freedom in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare in this place as a servant of the Most High God that you're going to raise millionaires in the house of God. You're going to raise some millionaires in this house to promote the gospel of God. Father, I invoke the scripture that says by your blood, that says by your stripes we are healed. I declare, oh God, in the name of Jesus, healing in this place. Fibromyalgia, I curse you in Jesus' name. I curse you in Jesus' name. Any arthritis, I curse you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, any kind of blindness, I curse you in the name of Jesus. I speak to that bone. I speak to that tendon. I speak to that ligament. I speak to it now, and I say, breakthrough now in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, if you know how to pray, begin to lift up your voice. Begin to lift up your voice in the name of Jesus. Karaba. Church, lift up your voice, lift up your voice, lift up your voice. Don't look around. Pray, 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 pray. Hallelujah. Somebody pray, somebody pray. Everybody, point your hands at this mother here. Hallelujah. Point your hands. Stretch your hands here. Stretch your hands here. This mother here came in here with that walker over there. How many people know this leg here is short? How many people know God can grow this leg right here? Amen. Hallelujah. Mother, we're going to pray for you. God's already working inside of you, inside of your leg. God's going to continue to give you strength. You've got to promise me something. When you get home, get rid of that thing. I know it sounds crazy, but get rid of that thing. And as you release your faith, because God's going to heal you, if you rely on that thing again, you're going to go back where you were. The way to stay free, a lot of times people get healed, but they don't stay free because they go back to lean on the thing that's been holding them, I promise you, you're going to feel like, oh my God, I can't do this. But if you hold on, God's going to do it. Amen. Somebody shout, in the name of Jesus. Come on, shout it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Shout it. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say, we speak life over this leg, over this hip. Look at me, mother. I speak life over you. I speak life over you. You can't give up. I speak life over you. I speak life over you. This is not your portion for the rest of your life. I speak life over you. Anybody that has ever convinced you otherwise, I speak life over you. Believe it. I speak life over you. Now walk to me. Walk to me. Walk to me. Do it. Walk to me. Walk to me. Live her. Live her. Live her. Live her. Walk to me. 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 Hallelujah. Turn around. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Here we go, here we go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to take one more lap, mother. Come on, I speak life to you. This is it. This is it. I speak life to you. Come on. I speak life. I speak life in the name of Jesus. That's it. That's it. That leg is growing. That leg is growing. That leg is growing. Come on, one more turn. In the name of Jesus. Come on, that leg is growing. That leg is growing. That leg is growing. That leg is growing. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on, celebrate Jesus like that's your mother. Celebrate Jesus like that's your mother. In the name of Jesus, celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I command every sickness here to bow in the name of Jesus. I speak life in the name of Jesus. I declare the life of God in the name of Jesus. I curse every suicide spirit in the name of Jesus. I curse every spirit of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare that your people are victorious in Jesus' name. Father, I release a tsunami of God's blessing over your people's life. Now, in the name of Jesus, take it and it's yours. In Jesus' name. You cannot leave a room like this without saying yes to Jesus. You cannot leave a room like this without saying yes to Jesus. Every eye closed. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3. If you need to say yes to Jesus, I'm just going to shout 1, 2, 3. Lift your hand up and begin a life with Jesus. If you want to follow Jesus, I'm going to count. If you want to give your life to Jesus, if you want to begin a new relationship with Jesus, this is why this church exists. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Hands, 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 hands. Thank you for all those hands. Now pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I surrender to you. I declare that you died and rose again. I declare that you died and rose again. Today, I say yes to you. I want to follow you. I want to follow you. I want to know you. I declare that you're the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to take that connect card and in the back, I want you to just check and say, I gave my life to Jesus today. Amen. Hallelujah. Impact, we love you. We'll see you next Sunday for Faith Giants Part 3. Amen. God bless you.